open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and teach us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Amen. One of the great benefits of spending time around children is that you learn to see the world through their eyes. Their sense of wonder can be infectious. To a tiny child, the tiniest little thing, a spider spinning a web, a fluffy dandelion head full of seeds, watching tadpoles in a pond, can become a thing of wonder. A few weeks ago, I spent some time with my godson. I said those vows to my godson and to my other three children 30-something years ago, and I still think of those promises. Now in his mid-30s, and his three children, one being at the time only 3 months. The other two, aged 5 and 3, spent time and energy showing me around their newish home and its environments in Devon. Like all children of that age, time doesn't enter their sphere. Tired or not, they were determined to use me to their advantage. Playing games, going for a walk, investigating where I was staying with my husband Mike. Everything was important, and if you said, we'll do this, you kept your word. And while small children can be prone to temper tantrums of the highest order, and we can see those sometimes, there's an honesty about their emotions that's rather appealing. Fierce tears and grazed knees are quickly resolved with a hug and are usually forgotten by bedtime. Twice on Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, he had to contend with his disciples' ambition, as his own thoughts are drawn to his coming suffering. His friends, his disciples, had not really grasped what it should mean for them too to take up the cross and to follow him. So when they asked this question about rank and importance in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus leads their thoughts in a very different direction. Now, when Jesus invited his disciples to become like little children, he was once again demonstrating the upside-down values of his kingdom. The disciples regarded children as the lowest of the low, an unnecessary distraction and hardly worthy of his attention. You just picture for a moment a dusty area, you know, and the disciples and Jesus is sort of sitting on the floor or kneeling on the floor, just pondering this question, when he feels a little tug on his robe. And there's this little finger comes along and tries to get hold of him and to stand up. And there's this example that he can use, because he always uses something that's around him. This little child looking at him with amazing awe. You see, Jesus saw in them a lesson in humility that others could learn from than this little child. So he calls this little child into the company and then says, "This is how you have to be to receive the wealth and dignity of God's kingdom. You must turn your attitudes right round and become like little children." So what was it about children that Jesus meant? Now, many answers have been suggested. Children are innocent, gentle, uncomplicated, eager, expectant, receptive, humble, and so on. While that is all basically true, though not all of the time, it may miss the point. You see, children, as I explained earlier, did not have much status in the ancient world. They were not thought very important. But Jesus counters that view later on in the next chapter in Matthew chapter 19. But he uses it here to explain the attitude that Christians should adopt. The childlike, not childish, the childlike attitude is to reckon ourselves truly unimportant, as less than the least of all God's people, and genuinely to count others better than ourselves. Then we shall be small enough to know the greatness of God. Then we shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. Then then we shall be generously open to Christ's other children, and in receiving them we shall be blessed by the presence of Christ himself. It's tough love, my friends. Human nature attaches different values to people, but to God, everyone is significant. We heard in that first reading this morning from Psalm 139 that God knows each one of us before we're even born in that dark secret place. He knows us, that tiny person. Age and ability are irrelevant. There's no favoritism. So how does that change the way we approach those our society considers to have very little value? See the famines and appeals on our TV screens, do we listen, turn away, or switch over? The refugees seeking asylum from terror and prejudice, they are his children. It's happening here as we sit in comfort and warmth. Do we feel helpless, motivated, or turned off? The forgotten and orphan children who cope with disease, abuse and starvation on the streets of our third world countries. Who loves them? Jesus does, with a passion and a heart that weeps. Jesus loves them as much as he loves these little ones here this morning, including Zachary, Edward and Harriet, who have just been baptized. Now, I'm not trying to tell you how to help the deprived and underprivileged or shock you with facts you already know. But as Christians, we have a moral and loving responsibility to care for these little ones. In a few weeks' time, our TV screens will be bombarding us with the latest toys and electronic gadgetry. It's that C word. The children growing up in our Western world think they need. Perhaps nobody has introduced them to books, to music or a country walk, to seeing what it's like outside, to watching a butterfly or a bird. What we do with our children and what we do to them is a worrying, accurate indication of what we think about the world, God, and ourselves. To many adults, children are just a nuisance, seen and not heard, as I was told when I was a child. Thankfully, that doesn't apply today, I hope. But the point is that they're a nuisance, if they are, because they matter. They disturb our organized adult world because they are real people. If they were toys or machines, we could put them away in a cupboard, but we can't. They have their own dignity, their own questions, their own future, their own unique identity. Many societies have done their best to ignore this. And in the ancient world, as I've said, and unfortunately today, it was and still is often forgotten altogether. In our first reading this morning, the psalmist speaks about being fearfully and wonderfully made, knitted together in my mother's womb in the secret place. How amazing is that? These little ones were known by God from the very beginning of their conception. They are special because God loves them. Now, the child in this story is a him, but in other translations it is a girl or an it. Jesus was trying to get into the disciples' minds the whole point about their rather loaded question, that the weakest, the most vulnerable, least significant human being you can think of is the clearest possible signpost to what the kingdom of God will be like. God's kingdom, the future time when heaven rules on earth, won't be about the survival of the fittest. It won't be about who is the angriest, the loudest, the fastest, the strongest people who get to the front ahead of somebody else, like the modern day's apprentice. God doesn't say you're fired. They were probably thinking along these lines, but Jesus tosses all that out of the window and instead calls out this little child. Shy, vulnerable, probably dirty with a snotty nose, unsure of herself, but trusting with clear eyes, ready to listen, to be loved, and to love, to learn and to grow. That and this is what true greatness is like, he says. Go and learn about it. In particular, go and imitate it. That means, as he says, being turned inside out or back to front. It means looking to life, at the world, at God, at yourself, through the other end of the telescope. We all find it difficult to think that weakness and vulnerability are anything other than things to be ashamed of. But humility is what counts in God's kingdom, because pride and arrogance are the things which, more than anything else in God's world, distort and ultimately destroy human lives, their own and those of people they affect. As parents and godparents, you have made promises, like many in church this morning, including myself, to guide and encourage these little ones as they grow in faith. Please take it seriously, my friends. As a godparent myself, I've been asked some very interesting and very pointed questions by my godchildren, which made me think before I answered the question. And if you don't know the question, say so, and say, but I'll find out for you. Now, what about that millstone? Jesus makes this point very forcibly and colourfully. A millstone was the heavy top stone of a corn grinding mill that needed a donkey to drag it round. It was extremely heavy. And he says it would be better to be sunk in the ocean by such a weight than to cause a little one to fall. What this means, as far as I can see, is taking care about how we live and being careful not to damage someone else's Christian life, or indeed our own. It is easy to be casual about conduct and lifestyle. Everyone has different ways of living these days. I'm an individual. I'll work it out for myself. God will forgive, that's his job. This text urges a different approach. We, as Christ's body and church family here on earth, have a responsibility to care and nourish one another, to welcome Paula and her family, to Hannah and Alexander, and their little ones into our church family. We must be careful not to be judgmental or critical, but be open and willing to listen, to never undervalue these little ones, to care particularly for those who are powerless, vulnerable, at risk in our world. Jesus' warning is far sterner than anything he says about what we think as the big sins, such as murder, adultery, and theft. Harsh words to address a harsh reality. Learning about God's kingdom means facing the real evils of the world and realizing that God hates them far more than you do, or that we do. The world values the mighty and powerful. Instead, we are to take as our example Jesus himself, who took upon himself the nature of a servant and humbled himself even to death on a cross. If we want to enter the kingdom of God, we need to become like little children. Jesus himself explains that God alone guarantees our entry into his kingdom. We cannot depend on anything we have or do. We do not earn the kingdom, we receive it. Children are our models, not because they are innocent, good, or even humble, but because they are dependent on others to provide and care for them. Jesus may ask us to lay something down to be ready to receive from God. But the only way to eternal life is total dependence on him. I pray that our Heavenly Father will bless you, Zachary, Edward and Harriet, in your walk with him today and in the years to come. Amen.